I thought it was appropriate as we are heading into the new year to consider pressing toward the goal. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 8 through 16 says, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of life," resurrection from the dead. "Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." When we think about Paul, we think about a man that we admire and look up to. He was one of the greats in Christian life of all time. And yet he openly admits that he hadn't got there yet. He has not attained it all. He has not reached perfection. And that's good for us to know. You see, because if we had already reached perfection, this lesson would be of no use to us. But I don't think any of us have reached perfection yet either. And so the idea of continuing to press for the goal. And you know, the amazing thing about a goal is once you reach one, there's always another one that you can reach for. I dare say there'll be a lot of goals reached today in the NFL. A lot of teams will reach the goal. Do you think that when they reach the goal one time, they will quit and say, "Well, that's it, we've reached it once"? Well, if they do, they'll probably lose. You can't just reach one goal and think you've accomplished everything that needs to be accomplished. No, they'll keep trying to reach that goal again and again. Now, on a football field, it's the same goal in the same place every time. But in our lives, there are different goals that we have to strive for. There are different things that we reach for. There are different areas of our lives where we need to set goals, where we need to have something that we're striving for. It may be in the area of career, in your work. It may be in your family life. It may be in the church. It may be a financial goal. It may be a physical goal. It may be an intellectual goal. There are a lot of different goals that we may set. Some better than others, obviously, but all important as we move forward in life. Notice the thing that he says that he's trying to do. And I know we read the entire passage, but we're going to go back and look at each phrase that he says here in verse number 14. He says, first of all, "I press." Now, that's not the kind of terminology that we usually use. Unless someone is pressing some pants or something like that with an iron, we wouldn't say that. Maybe Susan might tell her girls on the basketball team to have a full court press. You know, but press, I press? What does that mean? We'd rather impress than press most of the time. But Paul says, "I press on." Now, pressing, the idea of the word press here is a term that indicates I'm not just wandering in this general direction. I'm not just ambling along or going from here to there, hither and yon, not knowing where I'm going. I have a certain place I'm going, and I am putting forth a concentrated effort to get there. I dare say that if we don't know where we're going, we'll never get there. And we wouldn't know it if we did get there. But do you remember as we studied in Matthew chapter 7 about the wide and narrow gate and the paths that lead to those places, that narrow, straight and narrow way that leads to that narrow gate, that path was one that had to be found, that you couldn't accidentally wander into. And so Paul, knowing that he wants to get in that narrow gate, knows that he has to put forth a concentrated effort to get there. No one will just accidentally fall into heaven. And yet many who consider themselves Christians live their lives in such a way that they think that maybe they'll just accidentally wander into heaven one day. You will not get to heaven if you don't put forth a concentrated effort to get there. If you don't press toward that. We must keep on keeping on until we attain our goals or perfection or die. Now, I dare say we're not going to reach perfection, and we're probably not going to reach all of our goals if we continue to set goals as we grow. We may set a goal, well, I want to know all the books of the Bible. Good. Well, once you know all the books of the Bible, then you need to set a new goal. You don't say, well, I know all the books of the Bible. I don't need to set any more goals. Might say, well, this year I want to read through the entire New Testament, or I want to read through the entire Bible this year. Well, good, do that. But that doesn't mean next year you can say, well, I talked to one person and asked them about the Bible. Well, I read that one time. Read it one time? Well, that's more than some people have done, I'll grant him. But just reading it one time, you do not have the insight that you need into the Scriptures if you've just read the Bible one time. Chances are, if you went back and read it again, a lot of it you would not remember having read that first time, especially if it's been a while. So read it again. We'll take a time out for a commercial break at this point. I have 5 different Bible reading programs printed and out here in the tract rack. They are various different kinds. I have a chronological one. I have one from beginning to end that just starts in Genesis and goes through Revelation. I have one where you read some Old Testament and some New Testament and some Psalms and some Proverbs every day. So there's 5 different ones. If you can't find one of those that you like, you're in sad shape, because there's a variety. So pick one. Look at them all. See which one you like. One of them is so long because it is done by Skip Andrews from Georgia, Duluth, I believe, church. And he has notes. He's done a chronological reading of it and has it broken down chronologically, and then he has notes beside it of each one. So I only have the first week out there. If you pick that one, you're going to have to tell me so I can print you out the next weeks. But I didn't print out the whole thing because it's about 80 pages long. With all the notes and everything else, and it has 1 week per page or whatever. So I didn't print that whole thing out, but I did print the first week if you want to look at that one. The others, it's all on one page, and some of them a half a page, front and back. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled program. If you want to set that goal, that's a good goal. Read the Bible through in a year. If you've not ever done it, do it. But don't think that, well, once I do that, I'm done. No, Paul realized that he had to keep striving for that. And that's what he says in verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. The reason some people aren't pressing on to lay hold of anything is because, quite truthfully, they haven't allowed Jesus to take hold of them yet. If Jesus hasn't taken hold of you, then you're not going to try to take hold of the things that He wants. And some people are in that boat. And so they just kind of wander along. They kind of go to church sometimes if they feel like it and don't if they don't feel like it. And it's of no real importance to them whether they go or not. But that's not the way Paul was. Paul had a concentrated effort. Maybe in the coming year you want your goal to be, I want to go to church more this next year than I did last year. Maybe you want your goal to be, I want to be there every time. Of course, you know, we know that traveling and sickness and things, you know, things come up and we can't. But you know, if you don't set it, my goal's going to be, you know, I'll go to church at least once next year. Well, that's not a very high goal, is it? Most of us will manage to do that one. Even some people that aren't Christians will manage that. They'll wander into a church building once somewhere this year. But no, if we set a goal, now we need to make those goals realistic and attainable, and yet they need to be challenging. Stretch yourself. You know, the person who is exercising physically, who can do 10 push-ups, doesn't say, you know, I can do 10 push-ups, so I'm going to do one push-up every day. I dare say if they did that, they wouldn't get very far. By the end of the year, they might not be able to do those 10 anymore if they only did one every day. They might atrophy rather than grow. So our goals need to challenge us. If we can do 10, well, then do 10 every day. And when it gets to the point where, you know, I can do 10 every day pretty easy, well, then they need to work up to 15 or 20 or, you know. And that's the way we grow, is by setting a goal, reaching that goal, and then setting a new goal that's further ahead of us. That's how we grow. We do that in a lot of areas of our lives. We do that in occupation. People say, well, you know, I want to reach for this pay increase. I want a raise. Or I want this particular position in this job market. I want to move up. I want to have a better job. Or I want to leave this job that I'm doing and go do what I really want to do over here. Or I want to go start my own business. And they start setting goals of what they want to do in those areas. But too many times in our spiritual life, we are just complacent and, well, frankly, we're lazy. And I know that we are, because I am too. It's easy to just go with the flow. It's easy to just do what's easy. But we've got to move beyond what's easy, and we've got to challenge ourselves. We've got to press on. And then he says, toward the goal. You know, goals are necessary. If you don't have goals in your life, you'll never be able to tell if you're a failure. You'll also never be able to tell if you're a success. You've got to have some goal. You've got to have some direction that you're moving, and a way to tell when you've gotten there. What if you get in the car after we're dismissed today? And you say, okay, I'm in the car, I'm going to drive now. Well, where are you going? Are you going out to a restaurant to eat? Are you going to a family member's house for lunch? Are you going home? Are you going to the store? Where are you going? What is your goal? Few of us, especially with gas prices up as high as they are now, few of us would ever just get in the car and say, well, I'm just going to go wherever the road takes me. I'll just go. No, when we get in the car, we're going somewhere. And if we're going somewhere, then we know when we've gotten there, and we know if we missed the turn, which I've done a few times. I was going to the bank and wound up in Vidalia, and I forgot to turn at the bank. I've got to turn around and come back. You know, I missed my turn. I forgot where I was going. Well, see, goals are those things that keep us reminded of where we're going. What if, we talked about football a little while ago, what if a football team had 5,000 yards rushing back and forth side to side on the field, but they hadn't gone forward any? Well, that wouldn't be much, would it? Nobody would count that. It doesn't matter how far back and forth you run, it's how far toward the goal do you run. That's what matters. There's always a challenge with the little ones. They get better at it as they get a little older, but when we're playing soccer with the little ones, when they're, you know, 4 and 5 years old, it's tough to get them to understand you have to kick the ball down that way. They just run kick the ball. I mean, they might kick it back toward their end, or they might kick it off to the side or that side. And that was one of the first things you have to train them is, when you get to the ball, you want to kick it that way. You want to go your direction. Well, what about in our spiritual life? Are we going toward something? Do we have that goal? We'll never reach it if we don't have it. And we'd never know. How do we measure? Well, I want to know more of the Bible. Okay, how are you going to measure whether you know more of the Bible at the end of the year than you did at the beginning? How are you going to measure that? You're going to have some way of measuring how much of the Bible you know now. You're going to have, if that's your goal, how much more of the Bible? What about the Bible do you want to know? You want to memorize the genealogies and Chronicles? Well, that'd be knowing more of the Bible. Well, that's not going to really be real helpful to you in your daily life, is it? Do you want to, you know, study a particular subject in the Bible? And, you know, I really want to understand the grace of God, or I really want to understand God's plan of salvation, or I really want to understand worship, or, you know, what, is there something specific that you want to know more of in the Bible? Or do you just want more general, well, I know more of the Bible. How are you going to measure that? You see, sports analogies are so good because in sports, there are very measurable results. Basketball, you get how many steals, how many rebounds, how many points. In baseball, how many hits, how many runs, how many errors. In all these sports, they have very measurable goals and very measurable rules that let them know, hey, we're succeeding, or hey, we're not doing so well. Now, I know that's a little more difficult in our spiritual arena. But personally, we can set a goal for ourselves. I want to memorize 50 verses this year. Okay? That's measurable. That means, basically, I'm going to have to memorize a verse every week. So I can start picking out, okay, the first week I want to memorize this verse, and the next week I want to memorize this verse. And then I have a game plan, don't I? Then I know where I'm going. And I have a much better chance of getting there than if I just say, well, you know, I want to memorize some Bible this year. And by the end of the year, I've managed to memorize Jesus wept. I memorized some Bible, didn't I? That wasn't really much of a goal. I probably already knew that before I started. So we need something to peg that this is where I'm going. See, we need to think of a goal kind of like a target. You know, you hunters, you know, you target practice. You line your sights up and then you target practice. Make sure that you can hit what you're aiming at, right? I mean, you don't just grab any old gun and go out there and hope that it's going to shoot where you want it to shoot and that you can hit what you... No, you practice. You line it up. You target practice. And so if we think about a target, we think about the bullseye is 100, you know, in that bullseye. And then the concentric rings around at 80 and 60 and 40 and 20, and then there's... Whoops, you missed. Well, if I aim... Where am I going to aim? I've seen those posters of the deer with the target printed on them. The target's right there. That's where you want to hit. That's the heart. That's what you're aiming for. And then there's the other circles out there. But you don't want to shoot over here, you'll miss entirely. Or shoot over there, you'll miss entirely. Or shoot over here and you'll shoot him and he'll fall down. But then when you get close, he'll get up and he'll be gone and you won't be able to find him. Joe was telling me about that this weekend. He had that trouble. Now that, you want to hit right in the heart so he dies. I know that's mean. I know all you animal rights folks will get on me for that. But, you know, that's your goal, isn't it? Your goal is to hit right there, boom, in the sweet spot. Right there in that 100. And that's what you aim for. Sometimes you don't hit that though. Sometimes you hit the 80 or the 60 or the 40 or the 20, but you're aiming for that 100. But if you don't aim for the 100, you're gonna miss the target altogether. If you don't aim for it, you just go out there with the gun and you're not going to hit anything. You have to aim for the 100, the bullseye. That's what you're aiming for. And that's what we're aiming for with our goals. We set our goals and we say, this is what I'm aiming for. And we say, we use the example over there, I want to memorize 50 verses this year. That's my goal. Well, what if I only memorize 48? I missed my goal. Am I a total failure? Well, I didn't get 50, but guess what? I memorized 48 verses that I didn't know last year. What if my goal is I want to read through the Bible in a year? And what if I miss 10 days? What if I'm one book short by the end of the year? Hadn't read Revelation or something. Did I fail? Am I a failure? No, because I read way more of the Bible than I would have if I hadn't had the goal in the first place. So the goal keeps us moving in the right direction. And unlike sports, we can be victorious even if we don't always reach our goal. Even if we don't get to the goal that we set. If we fall a little short of that goal, we've still accomplished something good. Sports, it doesn't matter how close you get to the goal. If you don't score, it doesn't count. But the good thing about our spiritual growth is we may not grow as much as we set our goal to grow, but we did grow. So we're going the right direction. And we're putting the effort in, a concerted effort. We're pressing toward the goal. The saying has been said, I would rather attempt to do something great for God and fail, than to do nothing and succeed. And that's what a lot of folks are doing. The saying is said that the one who tries will make many, many mistakes. There will be many failures. But he never makes the biggest mistake of all, doing nothing. As Christians, we can't just sit and do nothing. We've got to do something. We've got to have some goals. All right. You know, success, we need to define it God's way. It doesn't mean we make the most money or live in the biggest house. It means that we are daily engaged in striving toward the goal that is worth striving for. Ultimately, as Christians, I know we talked about, you know, there are a lot of goals. I might want to lose some weight. I might want to get in better shape physically. I might want to get in better shape financially. I might want to get a better, you know, raise in my job. I might want to, you know, there's lots of things we might want to do. I might want to have better quality time with my family, of, you know, my children, my wife, my parents, you know, whatever. Yes. But ultimately, our number one goal as a Christian should be obvious. I want to get to heaven. Now, how am I going to get there? I need to set some incremental goals along the way so that I know I'm headed in the right direction. I can't lay all those out for you. The Bible doesn't even lay all those out for you. You have to lay those out for you. It's been said, and I believe it's true, I will never lose weight because my wife wants me to. I will never lose weight because my mom wants me to. I'll never lose weight because my children wants me to, or my boss, or my doctor. The only way I will ever lose weight is when I want to. And the same is true of setting your goals in your spiritual life heading to heaven. You'll never go to heaven, and you'll never set those goals because somebody else wanted you to. You have to want to. And you have to set the goal. And you have to press toward the goal. Paul can't press toward the goal for us. Each of us has to press toward the goal for ourselves. We've got to aim for that. We've got to be moving in the right direction. But Paul's goal, he was aiming for the prize. You know, he wanted to hit the big time. He wanted the jackpot. Well, we talked about that. That's what
What's the jackpot?
We want to go to heaven. Eternal life. That's what Paul's goal was, the resurrection. Well now, particularly the resurrection to eternal life, because everybody's going to rise from the dead, okay? When Jesus comes and the trump sounds, the dead shall rise. All that are in the graves will hear His voice. Everybody's going to rise. Everybody gets to do that whether they wanted to or not. That's not the goal. The goal is when you rise, to then get to rise. You see, because when we rise, we'll meet Him in the air. Those who didn't live right won't get to meet Him in the air. So we want to aim for that. Paul, of course, acknowledged that he hadn't reached his goal. Heaven was still in the future for him at that time, as it is for us. But we've got to keep reaching for it. We've got to keep pressing for it. He talks about that in verses 12 and 13. And then he says, of the upward call of God. In our goal setting and in our direction in life and in the other activities that we engage ourselves in, we have to ask ourselves the question, is this activity, is this time that I'm spending, is this money that I'm spending, is this energy that I'm spending, is this something that is helping me move upward toward heaven, or is this something that is keeping me and moving me further away from heaven? And we need to get rid of those things that are pulling us down, weighting us down, and dragging us in the other direction, so that we can focus on our goal and move in that direction. Paul talks about, the Hebrew writer, many of us assume that it's Paul, talks about laying aside the weight that so easily entangles us and run the race. Can you imagine someone out running a race, dragging chains with big old balls of iron on them, running the race like that? Or even with ankle weights on? Can you imagine them trying to run a race like that? And yet, how many times, as we're trying to get to heaven, going to heaven's my goal, but I'm dragging all of these sins and bad habits, and wasted energy, and wasted time, and wasted money, and I'm dragging all that with me. It's one thing to have that stuff with you when you're going downhill. It might actually speed you up. But when you're going uphill, you don't want to drag all that stuff. You'll never make it up the hill like that. So we've got to cut all that stuff loose from us and move upward. God calls every one of us upward toward Him. Now, we've got to move, though. God wants us to be constantly improving and growing. Ephesians 4:11 through 16, He talks about this. He talks about us edifying the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow, that's a goal. That's God's goal for us. But you know, we'll never accomplish that unless we make it our goal for us. Just because God wants us to do it doesn't mean we'll do it. We know what we should do. We know what God wants us to do. The question is, what do we want to do? Do we want to do what God wants us to do? We won't do anything, no matter how much we think we should, or how much we know we should, if we don't want to do it, we'll find some excuse or some way out, and we'll avoid doing it. We have to want to do what's right in order to do what's right. God wants us all in heaven with Him. He wants everyone in heaven with Him. But He's not going to let us in if we haven't made the effort to get there. There's no welfare system with Him. There is grace and mercy. But He only has workfare, not welfare. And then He talks about it being in Christ Jesus. The upward call is in Christ Jesus. That's where we have to be moving upward. Outside of Christ, there is no upward mobility. You can't get higher while you're still going down. It doesn't work that way. You can't get out of a hole by digging out the bottom. You've got to climb out. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3 tells us. There is no condemnation in Christ, Romans 8:1-2 tells us. Eternal life is in Christ, Romans 6:23 tells us. In fact, the term in Christ is used 87 times in the New Testament. 20 times other forms of the phrase are used. We need to be in Christ. Are you in Christ? God wants you to be. Do you want to be? If you are in Christ, are you pressing toward heaven as your goal? Is heaven your goal? Is that what you're aiming for? Say, well, yeah, I mean, I want to go, but I don't want to do... You know, Don and I were talking about that this very thing this week, that, you know, I say, well, I want to lose weight. Well, no, actually, that's not true. We talked about it. Say, no, really, I don't. I want to have lost the weight. That's what I want. I don't want to have to cut back on how much I eat and exercise more, because that's what I know it takes to lose weight. I don't want to do that. I just want to have lost the weight. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, if you say, I want to save money for retirement. No, what you want is you want to have money at retirement, but you want to spend all the money you make now. You don't want to save it. And that's why you're not, if you're not. You know, if you want to save money for retirement, then you'll save money for retirement. If you want to lose weight, then you'll do what's necessary to lose weight. And people are like, you want to go to heaven? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Okay, here's what's necessary. You're going to have to be obedient to God. You're going to have to believe in Jesus. You're going to have to be willing to repent of your sins. You're going to have to confess Jesus as the Christ. You're going to have to be baptized to wash your sins away. And then you're going to have to rise up and walk a new life where you are obedient to Him in every area of your life. Not just in one or two things, but all over your life. Oh, well, I don't want to do all that. You see, we want to get to heaven without having to do what's necessary to get to heaven. And it doesn't work that way. Just like losing weight, just like becoming a millionaire at retirement, or, you know, whatever else we want, whatever other thing that people put out there, they want the result, but they don't want to walk the path that it takes to get to that result. I know, because there are a lot of things in my life where I wish I had the result, but I don't want to put the effort into it to get the result. And we all can probably think of some things in our life where we, you know, I'd really like that, but I, you know, I wanted progies for Christmas. I don't know, if you've never eaten progies, you've missed out. They're one little Polish dish, but they're basically a dumpling that's filled with some very good kinds of cheese inside, and then it's covered in cream and butter and baked, and they're really good. And I really wanted some for Christmas. But I wanted somebody else to make them. Because they take hours to make. If you make them, you know, you have to make them from scratch. I mean, you can't just go buy them like you can a turkey at the store. You have to make, you know, you have to make the dough, and then you have to stuff it, and you have to fold it, and then you have to boil it, and then you have to, you know, I mean, it's stuff. And I didn't want to spend the hours that it would have taken. I wanted some, but nobody made me any. And so I didn't get any. Why? Because I wasn't willing to do what was necessary to get them. There will be millions, billions of people on Judgment Day who will be saying to God, I wanted to come into heaven with you. And God will say, no, you didn't. Because if you wanted to come to heaven with me, I told you how to get there. I gave you the roadmap. I gave you the directions and the instructions, and you didn't follow them. All right, real quick before we close then. as we're coming into this new year, what goals are you going to set? What are you going to do this year that you're going to do intentionally, that you're going to have some focused intensity, you're going to press toward? Now, don't set 500 different goals. You'll never reach them all. You know, don't try to score 10,000 points. You're not that. Do something that you say, you know, I can do this if I work at it. And then follow through. Make a plan. See, going to heaven, that's our ultimate goal. And I hate to use football again. Let's go to the army. Let's go to war. Okay? When an army goes to war, what is their objective? To win the war, right? That's the ultimate goal. Are they going to do that the first day? Well, probably not. Be a very unusual war if they did. Are they going to do it the first week? Well, you know, that'd be a pretty short war. I suppose maybe there's been some that short. But generally speaking, a war is a long process. You think back to World War II. I mean, that thing lasted for years. You think about the wars that we've been engaged in for the past 10-plus years. I mean, these are long, drawn-out affairs. It didn't just, well, we went in there yesterday and we won. But see, going to heaven is that ultimate goal. That's winning the war. But what's an army got to do to win the war? Well, there are several things they're going to have to do. They've got to equip themselves. They've got to train. They've got to learn techniques and strategy. They've got to learn about weapons and learn how to use those weapons. And they have to learn all those things. And then they have to go out there and fight day in and day out. They have to keep fighting. And they have smaller objectives within the big overall objective to win the war. Well, you know, think back to the end of World War II. Of course, there was a lot of things that had led up to that. But then, ultimately, we said, okay, you know, if we're going to win this war, we've got to get our soldiers onto Europe's mainland. How are we going to do that? So we had to have a smaller goal before we could reach the big goal, didn't we? And so we said, well, okay, we're going to... And they picked the spot. They picked the beaches of Normandy, didn't they? And they said, this is where we're going to land. And this is where we're going to fight. And so that's where they landed, and that's where they fought. And you know what? A lot died. But they took that beach. And then they started to move inward, inland. And then there were more battles, and battle after battle. And then, and you know, things like the Battle of the Bulge, where, you know, and thousands more. And all these people were dying in the fight. Do you think they would have gone and died in the fight if they didn't have a goal? If they didn't have a reason that they were going to do that? See, we've got to have a goal. We've got to have somewhere we're headed. But then we've got to break it down and have short-term goals. I want to get to heaven. How am I going to get there? What spiritual changes do I need to make in my life today that will turn me toward that or move me toward that? Or keep me moving toward that. Well, with that battle, once they landed on Europe's coast, then they had to start shipping in supplies. Those soldiers had to eat. They had to do, you know. So sometimes people say, "Well, you know, I work and my job, you know, it doesn't help me get to heaven." Well, maybe not specifically directly, but indirectly, it's necessary, isn't it? You got to be able to eat. You got to have clothes to wear. You got to, you know, how would you have a Bible if you didn't have a job to have money to buy one to study it? You know, and on and on. That job itself may not be the thing that gets you to heaven, but it's something that can help you keep moving in the right direction because it gives you the resources that you need. Maybe something that helps you reach out to others as well. Reach out to your coworkers and help bring somebody else to heaven with you and things like that. Some people will say, well, you know, I feel like sleeping is just a waste of time. I should be doing something else with that time. Really? Well, try staying up for about a week straight and see if you don't decide sleeping's a pretty good thing. It's really important. God knows that. He made us that way. We could go on and on. We could talk till New Year's about goal setting. And maybe I will, but I'll do that at home with my family. Think about, though, what do you need to do this year? And see, the answer is different for each one of us because each one of us is at a different place on the road. I mean, some of us have accomplished some tasks and not others, and others have accomplished those tasks but not these. And so we have different goals that we need to set. Some of us, maybe we can do one thing and somebody else said, well, I can't do that. Well, maybe there's something else I can do. Maybe you say, you know, this is the year I'm going to lead a prayer at church, man. Say, this is the year I'm going to lead singing. This is the year I'm going to become a Christian. This is the year I'm going to teach a class. Ladies, maybe you can step out and say, you know, I'm going to teach a children's class this year. Or I'm going to be an aide in one of the other teachers' classes. Or, you know, whatever the thing may be. But I'm going to do this year. I'm going to grow in this area. And take that step. Now, the old proverb, often attributed, I guess, to the Chinese, that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And so it is with our journey to heaven. We've got to take one step at a time. We can't just go, I'm here, okay, I want to be in heaven. No, no. We have to take the path. We have to take the steps to get there. So think about it. Make plans. Make goals for yourself. Help your family to make goals for themselves. As a church, where do we want to be? What do we want to do? Where do we want to go? Well, yeah, we want to go to heaven. Well, let's do things that will help each other to get there. If you need to respond to God's invitation, maybe because you haven't been setting the goals that you should. Maybe you've been pretending you were moving in the right direction, but you've just fooled yourself because you're really not. You're stagnant. You need to get going again, get growing, get moving. Maybe you felt like, well, I'm moving, but maybe you've been moving the wrong direction. Maybe you're rolling back downhill and you need to stop that and start moving back uphill again. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation this morning, please do so as we stand and as we sing.